Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jenna Spillbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jenna Spillbor and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry, and we have another show back for you today on this Sunday morning, and I hope everyone is doing well. And ladies, I hope you are doing well as well.
I am, but I'm not living in a basement.
Good point. Very good point. For those listeners out there who are not aware, Jenna's house right now is being renovated. So part of the renovations include the fact that she's missing, you know, like ceilings and walls. So she has moved back in with her mom and dad and is currently occupying their basement.
And you summed that up pretty well, Frank and Barry.
Hey, thank you very much.
Let us also not forget that on account of all that, Mom and Dad Spillbot had their radio debut last week.
They did.
That was so fun. They were great.
Yes, that was definitely fun. Mama Nance was pretty good at this radio thing.
Yeah,
she was too far from the tree.
They were so funny because I clued them in to listen, and they both texted me afterwards like, "That was the best show ever. I didn't realize I was so funny." Like, did it?
And you can tell your mom that when I listen back to the show, I go, "Oh, that was the worst show ever. Why do they have that Frankenberry guy helping out?" And I've done this for years.
No, I doubt
it. That was funny.
How's construction going, Jenna?
So I got to be honest with you guys, it's going much slower than I expected it to. Now, I in my optimism, I am hoping that at some point, like, it's going to just pick up speed like a snowball down a hill, you know? But right now, because, you know, you can't wait to the last minute to move out. You got to be ready for when they got to lift the roof off your house, which is the next step. It just hasn't happened yet. So I'm living in my parents' basement for nothing, you know? Kind of.
Are they working on it, or are they not there every day? They're just taking longer.
Well, there seems to be a little bit of an issue, and I'll tell you, we can blame COVID for this. Some of the material is taking longer to arrive and also cost 10 times more than it did pre-COVID.
Building supplies are way up.
Yep, so that's a little bit of an issue. But my guys were on it, so we've ordered everything. Now it's just hurry up and wait. You know, but in the meantime, I haven't cooked or cleaned or made a bed, so there's that.
Is your mom making your bed for you as well?
Wait a minute. You didn't cook or clean before. You made that up there.
Actually, that's a very good point.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah, Jenna, DoorDash is not cooking, okay? Just to give you the heads up.
But it felt like cooking, you know, because I had to, like, sometimes stick it in the microwave and then put my, you know, dishes in the sink, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, pour that glass of wine and then wash the glass. Yeah, I had to do some cooking and clean up today.
Oh, my God.
That microwave and that bottle of wine.
Now, Jenna, I have to ask you, is it more challenging to be disciplined and keep that slender figure of yours living in the house with your mother, who is a phenomenal chef?
And I'm glad you asked that, because I was worried. I was worried going in that was going to be an issue. But I will tell you, I'm patting myself on the back, because I'm so accustomed now to starving myself that I'm able to do it easily.
Okay.
Seriously. And she, you know, she's been an integral part of my diet, because I do get leftovers, and I would have dinner with my parents anyway a lot. And so my mother has basically been my personal chef, which we can use as a segue in a couple of minutes. But So I wanted to tell you guys about something else. And you, please stop me if I told you this, only because I wanted to complain about it. And I could have swore. Oh, is somebody chortling? Did I hear a chortle?
You heard a chortle. Yes, Jonna wanting to complain about something. Oh, my God. My head is spinning. Go ahead.
Imagine that.
I know.
I need you to stop me. I need you to stop me from doing something that I'm on the verge of doing. And also stop me if I told you this story. So a couple weeks ago, I mean, you guys have had a credit card compromise, right? In this day and age, what ends up happening is that the credit card company alerts you usually before you figure it out yourself. At least that tends to happen to me, because credit card companies have gotten pretty smart about that. And they can, somehow they can tell when it's not you making a purchase. And so I got a notice that...
Wait, hang on. Did somebody buy flannel pajamas? Is that what triggered it?
And did they order them from France?
Good
and
one.
Also,
and
there was,
no.
There was a charge from Stop and Shop or Price Chopper or something. Is that what cued them on, that it wasn't you?
All good guesses, Curly. But no, that's not it. So I didn't know what the charge was, but they told me where it was from. So the credit card company said there was a charge for $329 and change from Sam's Club. Now, Sam's Club, I'm not a member. I don't regularly shop there. But I think at some point in my history, I might have purchased something from there, like a water cooler or something, maybe for the office, just years ago. But I don't, I'm not a member. But when you have a fraudulent charge on your card, they don't really give you the list of items. They only tell you how much and where it was from. And then you got to, like for me, sometimes that's hard. Like, I buy from all over the place. I don't know, weird stuff off of Facebook and stuff. So we determined that it's a fraudulent charge, and I had to get a new card, and that's kind of a pain in the butt, yada, yada. Well, fast forward. Because about a week after that, I get an email from Sam's Club. And Sam's Club wants to know how I liked my recent purchase. Since I hadn't made a recent purchase, I logged into Sam's Club because at some point in my history, I had made a purchase. And I got to view my, quote, recent purchase, which I did not make. I also got the address and phone number of the person who did make the purchase.
Because
they use their own, they use their own address and phone number. Now, would you like to guess what I did not purchase, but somebody else purchased pretending to be me? Would you like to just take a guess? And the clue is two items totaling approximately $329, and one of the items cost less than $5.
Well, $329 is a lot for bulk cheese doodles.
a flat screen TV.
Good guess, but no.
No,
Frankenberry was actually closer. Go ahead.
Well, you said one of the items was really cheap?
Yep.
All right, so they only purchased two things. They got one really cheap thing and one fairly expensive thing, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so the one fairly expensive thing, was it a piece of electronics?
The one really expensive thing? I would classify it as that, yes.
Okay, all right. So I was close with the bulk cheese doodles, and then with the electronics, I don't know, a stereo of some type, or a tuner, or I don't know. That's all I got.
All right, so the expensive item that they purchased was a pair of... Apple earbuds. What do they call those? Earbuds? The Apple earbuds.
Okay.
I have them in my ears right now, but not those.
Oh, the ones that are cordless.
Yes. So that cost $25. The second item that this idiot tried to purchase on my credit card, which was probably the dead giveaway, if you think about it, was a box of Cheez-Its.
So, wait. I had cheese. I was on the right path with cheese.
You were on the right path with cheese. But this moron bought something that I'm an Apple user. I have Apple earbuds in my ears right now. I have my personalized Lady Law earbud case, charging case. I have all that. That wouldn't be the giveaway. The Cheez-Its were most likely the giveaway since I haven't had a Cheez-It in a year and a half. But the moral to the story is, so on this, so I go into the Sam's Club with my account information and I see the purchase, and it was an address and a phone number in the Bronx, but no name, no name, the address and the phone number. So now I just go crazy and I'm on the verge of calling this person just to say, you know, thanks a lot for trying to pull a fast one, and now I have to wait 3 days for my credit card, and, you know, what's wrong with you, you moron? So the question I have for the two of you is, I was so hot under the collar, and I had that information at my fingertips, and I ultimately decided to not contact him, only because I figure, all right, if you've stolen my, you've hacked into something in order to get my credit card information, had the you know, wherewithal to buy a big ticket item and a box of Cheez-It, so we know that he doesn't eat well, I figured he might just, he's got to know where I live. He's got to have my information and my addresses, and I didn't want him knocking on my door with, like, you know, a Hostess cupcake and an attitude and get back at me for doing that. So it took every ounce of everything I had in me, but I ultimately decided not to contact him. And my question to you is, would you have done the same, or armed with that information, would you have tried to, like, give him a piece of your mind?
Carol?
Hmm. I'm here.
Nope, you go first.
I go. Oh, I got to answer first?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't want to step on you.
My initial instinct would be to go after this person because it's an invasion, right? Like, it would get under my hot under my collar bad. But that you step back for a minute and thought about it, you're right, because they have access to your Sam's Club account, not just your credit card. So they right. probably do have your information. And look, you through the credit card company, you're going to be made whole.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's wise. Not go after them.
Right. But my question of you is this, Jonna. You are, last I checked, especially when I look at the license plate on your car, you're still a lawyer, right?
Yes.
Okay. So.
Yes, I am.
So you being a lawyer and you coming across this person's not only address, but also their phone number. Why isn't the very first phone call you made either back to the credit card company with that information if they don't have it, and say, now you have something to really go on this credit card fraud, which, as far as I know, again, I think you're still a lawyer and I think that that's still illegal. Also, why didn't you call the police with this information?
So, funny you should ask, because since I am a lawyer, as evidenced by my license plate and little
right.
else.
not your law degree, your license plate.
And your office with like 11 to 15 employees. Nope, it's just the license plate.
Just the license plate. I did think of that, and I decided not to waste my time for one reason and one reason only. If I could, if the credit card company knows that it was a charge from Sam's Club, they alerted me. I am sure that there's some connection between the credit card companies and the people who get hacked, where they had access to the same information that I had, and probably some streamlined way to combat it. As opposed to when I had this happen, not with a credit card, I had it happen one time with a debit card years ago when I first opened my office, and that's real money that comes out of your account. And then I did have to involve the police, and they had to do a whole investigation. So this, to me, was a little bit different, and I just let it go.
Okay, but would you at least check back with the credit card company? Is that something that you're planning on doing to say, hey, listen, I just wanted to see if there was an investigation going on. Apparently, we know where this person lives and what their phone number is, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, the credit card company got back to me and said they've conducted an investigation and they realized none of this is my doing and yada, yada, yada. So I figured, okay, but I have the information if they want it, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yes, that's because, and that's the other thing, you know, and Carol, I think, belongs to some of these too. And I love belonging to all these companies that are supposed to protect your financial information like that and prevent identity fraud and identity theft and all that stuff. I belong to a couple of those programs.
What, like Life? And, what, like LifeLock? That kind of thing?
Like LifeLock, like ID Shield, Legal I Shield. Think is the Legal ID Shield. Shield. Yeah. And I did get a notice that said that my information was on the, quote, dark web, which, and now I'm like, all right, great. Well, what do I do? Because if I belong to all these programs, and I guess they can let me know that it's on the dark web, but hopefully that's all it's going to come of it. Right? I mean, once it's on the dark web, I don't know how you get your ish off the dark web. That's why you need these companies like Legal Shield and LifeLock,
right.
I guess,
yep.
Which, you know, I have one of each. So, you know, because there was a time that feels like yesterday, but it was decades ago, where I didn't have any identity to steal. Now you get a hold of my stuff, you're going to be silent.
And you see, where the one aspect of all that where I'm lucky is I'm still in the same boat that you were years and years ago. Seriously. I mean, I really think that hackers have probably logged into my stuff and they've gone, oh, Jesus, this guy's worse off than we are. Okay, never mind. Let's leave this poor bastard alone.
Let's send him a box of Cheez-Its.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was exciting. Yeah, right? But that's how I figured. To me, that purchase said it was a man. It was a dude who bought earbuds and a box of Cheez-Its. I don't know why I just felt that. Women eat Cheez-Its, too. And
no.
We use...
It's a dude.
Earbuds. It's a dude, right?
Oh, it's definitely a dude.
That's what I thought. So, anyway.
Did you Google the address, Donna, to see if it...
Yeah,
you,
I Googled
like,
the address. Street View, you got it. Yep, sister, I sure did.
Mm-hmm. Did you get a name out of that?
I did not get a name, but I'll tell you what, it was a scary place. It was a very... scary, scary place. I wouldn't trick or treat there. And that's another reason why I didn't pursue it personally with this person.
I was going to say, yeah, that would be a good reason to just kind of let it die and let the credit card company take over and do whatever it is they do.
Yeah, yeah. Let them be in charge of the charge. Ba-dum-bum. Okay, on that note.
that's your segue today, ba-dum-bump?
Ba-dum-bump, that'll be my segue, but I gave an indirect segue and didn't even mean to because I mentioned the word Halloween. Why is that a good segue? I will tell you. Well, number one, Halloween, which incidentally, folks, falls on a Saturday this year. Unfortunately, that Saturday happens to be when we're still in the midst of a pandemic and life is not 100% normal. So I thought it would be a fun, fun, fun idea for us to talk about how to throw a fabulous yet safe Halloween party in the middle of a deadly pandemic, and also maybe get some tips since Halloween kind of kicks off the unofficial start of the real holiday season because it's just a snap, skip, and a jump until your Thanksgiving's here, then Christmas, then New Year's. So I said, who would be a great guest to talk about party planning? And I did a little Googling since we now know I'm an expert having had my credit card. And I got a hold of, and this is just going to be really fun, especially for me because you know I'm a fan of the show Chopped. I got a hold of Chef Lauren Kovic. Who is she? Well, she is a former winner of the show Chopped, which you got to love. And she's a Chopped champion. She's the winner of Supermarket Steakout, which is now my second favorite show. She actually owns a catering company, and she knows how to throw a party and has been throwing parties since she's been allowed to do so during this pandemic and knows how to make it fun and make it safe. And I thought, who better to have as our guest today than Chef Lauren Kovacs is going to talk to us about party planning during a pandemic.
All right, that sounds good. This is Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci, and we will be back with some Halloween ideas and some Halloween plans that just may work for you. This is K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
Hello again, and welcome back to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And it's time now in segment number two, as always, to get to our guest. And with Halloween just, 6 days away now, we have the perfect guest, right, Jonna?
This is going to be one of the funnest happy hours we've ever had.
Well, I have to stop you there because your parents were on last weekend, so that's going to have to be. But carry on.
That's true. However, I think most of our listeners know that I am a Food Network freak, which is really strange since I can't cook licks. But I spend many a sleepless night watching one of my favorite shows is Chopped. And I know a lot of people, and I've even written, you know, Facebook posts about it, and a lot of people are with me. They love the show Chopped. Well, I managed to track down a Chopped champion who is going to talk to us all about how to plan a safe and fun Halloween party during a pandemic. So on the line with us, and I'm like through the moon excited, we have Chef Lauren Van Loo, who is owner of Chef Kovacs Catering. But she's not just the owner of a fabulous, and not that far away, New Jersey catering company. You should go to her website. We'll talk about that at the end. She has some fabulous spreads on there. But she won Chopped, you guys. Like, she won Chopped. And I'll give you a little bit more of her background. She is a Chef Kovacs, even though her real name is Chef Van Loo. Makes a lasting impression on everybody she meets, this host included. She's outspoken, strong-willed, and determined. She knows what she wants out of life, even if she has to make that out of chicken feet. And she always gets what she's going after. She's a Chopped champion, and I'm going to talk to her about what episode she was on. Mixing cooking skills and determination have taken her a long way. On the line with us is Chef Lauren Van Loo. Welcome to the show, Chef.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Now, we got to jump right in. We're going to get to the skills part and the party part, but I just have to ask you, how much fun, or let me put it this way, was being on Chopped the best day of your life, including more than getting married?
Being on Chopped was one of the best experiences ever. The Food Network A period is amazing. They are so nice, so great to work with. And I love Chopped, as most people do. And it's fun. And you watch it on TV and then you're like, you think you could do that? I think I could do that. I want to try that. And then, I mean, it's challenging. I love competition. So for me, this was, you know, balls against the wall there for me. I had to go for it.
But it had to be scary because you're a well-renowned chef. And you use ingredients that we all like to actually eat. And Chopped has that added bonus of you never know what you're going to get, and chances are it could be something that you've never ever worked with before. So how did you even get on the show? How do you get picked for it? Like, you applied? Did they find you? Did you find them? How did that?
So for Chopped, someone had sent me an application and said, I think you do so well under pressure. You should apply for this. And it was a link. And I filled it out like alone, like, okay, yeah, maybe. Let me just try it. You know, who cares? No one has to know that I'm applying for it. And they called, and then you go through the interview process where it's just, you know, they do face interview at the time, obviously, and a phone call. And then they call you like 2 weeks before because they don't give you much lead time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's like, well, if we think you're good and we want to put you on the show, we'll call you probably around 10 to 12 days out. And I was like, okay. But in my head, I'm like, we got to start practicing ASAP because if they call, I got to be prepared. So
10 to 12 days?
Yeah, it's not a lot of time. So I will honor this. What you see on TV is really what you get. Besides it being a long day because, you know, it is TV and there's lots of interviews in between. The competition is the competition. You do not know what's in your basket. You do not know the layout of the kitchen. You're brought in very early in the morning. You're sequestered in a room where it's you and your teammates, and then you go do the competition. There's no, you know, no playing around with the level of intensity in these baskets.
So let me ask you this. Do they give you, like, there used to be a time, and I won't name the network, that I would appear on a lot. And sometimes they would guide you in the sense that they'd be like, well, you know, we want you to argue about this. So, like, for example, when you go to Chop, do they say, listen, we only have one deep fryer, and everything in this basket needs to be deep fried by everybody. Like, so to sort of make a fight at the bat rack, do they do that to you, or just...
No, I have to say they really don't. I watched so much Chop that I went in there saying, A, I am not making ice cream no matter what happens, because it always gets screwed up, and I better be prepared that I'm not making ice cream. And I also tried to, like, when we were with our other contestants, feel them out. What are they thinking? Because I tried to take every course, appetizer, you know, the middle round and dessert, and have three different ideas. So no matter what came in the basket, I was going to make a taco, or I was going to make a pasta dish. I went in, no matter what the ingredients were, if they gave me something candy, you're going to make salad dressing because you can use that as your sugar in your dressing. So I tried to, like, prepare for that kind of aspect so I could do well.
Wow, that's super smart.
It is smart.
And my kids constantly went to the grocery store with my husband. They came home with blind baskets and say, you got 20 minutes, go. So we did that a lot.
Nice.
And kids, you know, they pick like the best things.
Lauren, you said you like competition. You've always been that way? Because I avoid it.
I love competition.
I would be a deer in the headlights.
No, actually, and I think that's why I do pretty well at my job, because on the weekends we do catering, so we have multiple events going on, and there's always things that happen. I do well under pressure. I like that. I think good on my feet.
Hey, Lauren, question for you. To go back to your kids running out shopping for you and bringing you home blind baskets, was there any blind basket or any items that the kids brought back that you said, oh, hell no?
Oh, the minced, you know, the canned meat, the Dyson, like the chopped pie that comes in a can.
Oh, God, yes.
Frankenberry loves that, Lauren. He lives on that stuff.
Hey,
there's no coming back from Denny's chopped can or whatever it is.
No, I live on beefaroni. There's a big difference and a big step up with beefaroni, thank you.
You can always wash the sauce off and use the pasta for something.
There you go.
All right, so before we move on to talk about the Halloween party that we want to talk about, what was the grossest ingredient you had to cook with on your show that day?
For dessert, they gave us these spiky fruit. They're called rabbitons. It's a fresh fruit. But if you don't know it's a fruit and you open the basket, so you never see what's in the basket until they say open the basket. And even then, because of cameras and TV, they have to have you open the basket a couple times to get the right shot. They have a piece of black paper covering the items in the basket so you can't even get a one-up and look in the basket. So they really like... So when they go, okay, this is your final time, and when we say go, this is it, guys. The paper will be gone. You can go. And we're like, okay. And you open the basket dessert, and there was this spiky fruit. I had no idea what it was. And I'm allergic to one type of fruit, like kumquats. And I was scared to try it because when the competition starts and the clock starts, if you cut your finger, if you burn your food, they don't stop the clock. And they ask you in the beginning if you have any allergies. And it's kind of like, oh, don't eat it if you don't know if you're allergic to it. So I was scared to try it. So I didn't even know what it tasted like. And it's like a lychee. Yeah. It's very slimy, fruity. It's very weird if you don't know what it is. I've seen a lot of Asian cooking.
Did they ever ask you, like, and then I promise we'll move on. Like, did they say, ask you in the interview process, is there anything that you won't touch, like, to make sure that that doesn't end up in anybody's basket or they don't follow with that?
Nope.
Who is your favorite?
Chopped is very, like, very cut and dry. So was Supermarket Steakout, but it kind of just, Chopped didn't give you anything else.
Chopped is so much fun. Supermarket Steakout is actually more nerve-wracking for me because I would hate to go up to people and have to, you know, get their baskets away from them. Like, to me, that would be harder.
Wait, Jonna. Yeah, like, I could talk to you, but it's negotiating.
Jonna, what would be hard? What would be hard for you to be would be to go anywhere near a supermarket in the first place?
That's my point.
Do you make better reservations?
I do. And I got to tell you something. I was on your website, your Chef Kovas Catering website. You do some remarkable stuff, which is why I am so glad we got you for this show. Because, look, we're all in the middle of this pandemic. You're in New Jersey. We're in New York. Our states got hit really, really hard. But mm-hmm. here we are. The holidays are right around the corner. If you were me or Carol or Frank, well, Frankenberry, he would probably put some Frankenberry cereal in a bowl and call it a day.
But if you wanted
to entertain in this day and age, to be safe yet fun with some fun party foods, how can you help us? Help us out here, Chef Lauren.
So people are wanting to do things, and you're right. The holidays are, like, right around the corner. I think Halloween's, like, the first test of everyone. Like, can we get together? We've had a lot of, like, makeup stuff, people who had, unfortunately, their weddings canceled and showers. But there is a way to get together and be careful. And it's just about being mindful and respecting each other's, you know, barrier, you know, boundaries and stuff like that. But people are getting together. I think Halloween's a fun one. I mean, we can definitely throw a mask in there with no problem. I mean, you're going to do a Halloween party. You're going to tell them you're going to wear a mask. Get your mask to match your costume. Even if you're going to be, you know, Dorothy from Wizard of Oz, make sure it's blue to match your dress because you're going to be at my house and we're still going to have a party. But I think people are willing to do it. Yeah, there's a lot of ways around it. And it's all about the setup and the decor of it, because if you don't put out a big bowl of dip that everyone's going to grab the same spoon, and you invest in getting little plastic shooters that are disposable, now everyone gets an individual appetizer, you know, and it could still be on a big table that everyone shares.
Oh, great idea.
See, that's what I like. So individual servings, but a lot of them so that it still kind of can look like you're at a buffet,
party. I mean, you get into a party, there's nothing worse than just putting out a bowl of chips. So you want to, like, if you're going to entertain, you know, Halloween, you can go and Google, like, all the different Pinterest people. We did a big thing last year about, like, different scary bites, especially, like, kids, but you know what, adults like it just as much. You can do, like, the jalapeno poppers and make them look like mummies and put them a toothpick, mm-hmm. and now you space them out on a platter. They're not on top of each other. They're in a little, on a toothpick, you're individually grabbing them. You know, they sell right now these RIP, they look like tombstone crackers. Well, if you make your favorite spinach dip or your layer dip and you do them in little cups and put them out on the table on, like, a nice board with the cracker, now no one's dipping their hands in, you know, to a bowl of chips and using a spoon, and everyone's getting something individualized, and you're just disregarding it at the end of the party.
Well, yeah, and I just had a stupid question, but you actually answered it for me because, you know, I like to entertain, and I haven't done any entertaining during this pandemic, but I do something stupid, and you just solved it for me. I will put, like, a toothpick, because I think I'm being smart by having people use a toothpick to grab whatever the hors d'oeuvre is or the appetizer is. But when you put all the toothpicks in one container, then somebody's fat fingers are going to touch a million toothpicks in order to grab their one toothpick. So you put the toothpicks in the food for them, and now they're just picking up one at a time, which to me is genius. To everybody else, is like, duh.
Right. And, you know, like, if you put food on a table right now, because we've done a lot of different events, if we put out a bottle of sanitizer and some wipes, you know, decorate your little container and call them, you know, ghost wipes or, like, the booger wipes, something like that, and put your table together with a little bit of a Halloween theme. And I think you can have a lot of fun with it, even adults.
Now, what about cocktails? Because cocktails can be... So we can't do punch bowls anymore. That would be crazy.
Cocktails are the best. I mean, if anyone's going to throw an adult Halloween party, the first thing you have to get is dry ice. It's going to be a game changer on your party. Because now you get the dry ice, and you put a little one in everyone's drink. And, you know, you don't do shareable things. Maybe you invest in, you get a service company, and they do a bartender for the night. And you buy all the alcohol. But you can do fun, those little needles and fill them with Jello shots, all different flavors. Put a nice sign that says flu shot. You know, go with the gimmick. Little COVID-19 shot and put them for everyone to grab. You can do fun slimy eyes with like leeches and olives in your martinis and mix it up like that.
Or you could do real eyeballs, because apparently that was an ingredient on Chopped one time. I don't know what animal.
Seriously?
I mean, I saw you mentioned chicken feet earlier, and you can make a big pot of chicken feet. You just fry them up and, like, put them on the edge of the platter. They call them children's hands.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's taking your party to a whole nother level.
Yeah, that is definitely taking it to a whole nother level. I just want to let you know, by the way, Chef Lauren, that Jana has already started getting ready for her Halloween party, as she has she's bought some Cheez-Its. And her next purchase is small paper plates, so she can put a little bit of Cheez-It on each paper plate and spread them out.
You know, you got to get a little creative with that.
But I love this, and I got to tell you, we have to wrap up here really soon. But I think the way you're talking about displaying the food with the small bites, whether for Halloween we're going to do them scary, but you could stretch that right out into a Thanksgiving party, especially a Christmas party, New Year's Eve party, with a lot of little bites. I mean, Thanksgiving is going to be a little weird because traditionally we have those big meals, but I think maybe you just invite fewer people this year. Right?
I think it's going to go back to the basics a little bit of not such over-the-top Thanksgivings, but more people just being with your intimate, you know, media family, a little more intimate.
I like that. I do.
I mean, I will say this. We've been doing a lot of makeup weddings. People have been doing them in the backyards, renting spaces and putting tents. And at the beginning, you deal with the bride and the groom, and they're very upset because they couldn't have their wedding in their venue. Because I don't have a venue. I come to you, and I create the space for you. But at the end of their wedding, they're like, you know what? Everyone that we had here was actually who we wanted here. It was smaller. It was intimate. And we actually enjoyed ourselves instead of having to worry about saying thank yous and all the over-the-top stuff. So I think it's not a bad thing that people are going back down to a little bit on the smaller scale.
So true. I totally agree with that.
You know, I like that, too, because then you're having great conversation and great food, and you don't have to worry about who you have to worry about. I think that's a great...
Well, I think that's where the holidays lose their thing, is because you want to please everyone, and this aunt does this, and that one doesn't eat this, and, you know, maybe doing a little bit smaller. A Halloween party you invite, and right now the weather's been great, that you could still do that outside thing, so you can maybe get away with a little bit more, but...
With a couple of heaters, and I think that would work, too. But I have to encourage everybody to visit your website at Chef Kovis Catering. And that's Chef, as it's normally spelled, Kovis, C-O-V-A-S, catering.com. You have some really just wonderful pictures on there and showcase what you do.
Thank you.
And I'm sure if somebody wanted to reach out to you, you're on Facebook, you're on Insta, you're on YouTube.
Instagram is our big thing. We go on every day.
So, yeah, you can follow and you're on there under Chef Kovis, not Lauren Van Loo.
Nope, yep, Chef Kovis. Sure. We go on there every day. We give you different cooking tips. We bring you along to all of our parties that we do.
Great. Well, I hope I'm going to steal some of your Halloween cocktails. I'm sure we'll see some up there, so that'll be fantastic because I can make one of those. I can't do anything else, Jeff. Yeah. I can make a cocktail.
It's okay. Cocktails make everything better.
There you go.
Exactly. It's been a delight having you. Thanks for the inside scoop on Chopped, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Yes. Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, Chef Lauren, it was nice having you with us, and this is Happy Hour with Jana Spilbore and Carol Pesci, and we are not finished yet this morning. We still have segment number 3 on the way. So please hang in there and stay with us. This is K104.
Jana and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jana and Carol.
And welcome back one more time here to Happy Hour this morning with Jana Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
There we go. You guys are getting there. You guys are getting there. So Chef Lauren, Chef Lauren was great. She was fun.
Yeah, she's a badass for sure. I was checking out her website before the show and got a video there of herself. And she's just intelligent, go-getter, quick. She's just
She's very cool. And,
yeah.
I can see why she was successful on the Food Network.
And she had some some nice ideas for, you know, for practical social distancing, but still being able to try and get together. I mean, Jonna, I'm sure you'll probably tell people that none of that would be my gig, because if I get any invites to a party, I'm just going to go and not show up. but yeah, no, she had some great ideas for still being able to get together, maybe on a smaller scale, and keeping things safe and distanced while you're there.
Well, look, who better to know this information right now in the world than a popular catering company? Because, like she said, we have a lot of people who postpone their weddings, don't want to postpone them anymore. The catering companies had nothing to do for quite a while, and now they're on the forefront of how do we make these people, how do we have these weddings, how do we have these parties that had to get postponed, and do it in a safe yet fun and delicious way. Like, they had to figure it out for the rest of us. Thank God.
Well, that was, you know, and that's one of the things we've talked about throughout the process of all of this is, you know, the impressive nature of a lot of businesses adapting to what is being presented to them because of all this. And, you know, a lot of businesses are starting to possibly thrive again, or at least stay on their feet, courtesy of this adapting.
Right, and getting creative. And that's definitely something we've talked about and something that I appreciate when I see, like, the local pizzerias early on in the process. I think people are getting more comfortable getting takeout. I am personally, I was not in the beginning. How they would do, like, take home, make your own pizza kits that the family could pick up the dough and the sauce
and
the toppings and then bake it at home. So I appreciate that creativity. And I love how she pointed out, look, this has been challenging on many levels for many people. But there are certain elements that you can look at and say, you know, that's kind of a good thing. We were forced into this, but this is a good thing. And how she pointed out that people who had to postpone their weddings and finally had them on a smaller scale are realizing, well, at first I was disappointed, but you know what? The most important people were there, and I got to spend more time with the most important people. So I love that she pointed out one of the positive aspects to being forced into certain things because of everything we're going through.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and they would, and who would have thunk? I mean, I never thought that we'd be at Halloween talking about, you know, still being in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, but here we are, but we still want to have some fun, and we want to do it without dying. All right. So before
good point, by the way. Yeah. Feel free to make that point louder.
Before we go, I want to ask you, so just sticking with our top theme. So, Carol, this little impromptu contest is a little unfair because you actually know how to cook. You know your way around a kitchen. Your husband is a fantastic cook. So you might have a little bit of an advantage here over Frankenberry. I'm going to give you a really hard ingredient. Okay, now this is off the list of the weirdest ingredients ever used on Chopped, okay?
And what, I'm supposed to tell you what I would do with it?
And you tell me what you would do with it. And you might have to figure out what it is, because I'll tell you what. Okay, so I come into your house with a mystery ingredient from Chopped, and it is two words. First word is call, C-A-U-L, and the second word is fat, call fat. I come over with a big heaping handful of that. Uh-huh. Are we still friends? No.
Okay. I know exactly what I would do with it. First thing I would do is pull my pull-out garbage out, and I would drop it in, and I would call the takeout.
Good one. Okay.
Okay. Ding, ding, ding. You win.
Okay. You got that. All right, Frankenberry. I'm going to give you your ingredient. I come over to your house, and I have with me in my purse a Buddha's hand.
You have a Buddha's hand?
A Buddha's hand.
Do you
all... You probably don't even know. We lost Carol?
What?
No, I'm here.
Okay. So, all right. So you're coming over with a Buddha's hand.
A Buddha's hand.
Now, you see, if it was a Buddha's belly, it would be so much easier because I could just rub it and hope for the best. Well, all right. Well, here's my question. Whatever a Buddha's belly may be, can I add lemon, pepper, and hot sauce to it, put it on a pork chop, and throw it in the convection oven?
Oh. Yes, you absolutely could, actually. You could do that.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Then that's what I would probably do because that's what I do with everything.
Wow.
All right.
Lemon, pepper, and hot sauce. Nice.
Let me just tell you what it is before we go, okay?
Okay.
The Buddha's hand is a fruit in the citrus family. It bears resemblance to a lumpy lemon with fingers and smells like heaven, so they say.
Oh, my God.
It has no flesh, so you can cut this whole thing up and, you know, use it as a fruit. It just looks like Edward Scissorhand. It's very lumpy and fingery.
Wow, that actually might actually kind of taste good on my pork chop with lemon, pepper, and hot sauce.
That's what I was thinking.
And by the way, Jonna, just can you tell me, now Carol doesn't care because she's already, you know, thrown it away in her pull-out garbage, but what exactly is caul fat?
Oh, okay. So, yeah, let me tell you. Caul fat, so disgusting. It's another name for caul fat is fat netting. And
I was right.
Membrane. Yes.
I was right. It did belong in the trash can.
Absolutely. I don't know what people actually do with it, but it's the membrane around internal organs of cows, sheep, and pigs.
Yep.
It has a stringy texture, and it's difficult to render.
Trash.
Oh, yeah. So that's, it's completely unappetizing and difficult to work with. First thing I think of is, how can we cook it?
That's gross. And on that note...
Okay.
That's a wrap.
Yeah, on that That's note, that is a wrap. So Halloween is a week from, well, not a week from yesterday. So just 6 days away here this coming Saturday. Everybody, please, as Halloween approaches, if you come up with some good ideas, you can feel free to share them. Jonna is always updating about the show at her Facebook page. And we hope that you have, like I said, that safe Halloween. And we'll be back again next Sunday following Halloween. 7 o'clock is when we do it every week here on K104. It is, again, Jonna Spilborg, Carol Pesci, and myself. I'm Frankenberry. Thank you so much for listening. And again, as always, be good and stay safe. This is K104.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.